I am master of my emotions. I am master of my emotions. We like to think that we are master of our emotions, that we're in charge of our attitudes and our emotions and our feelings. And some of us are, and some of us are not. Great men of industry, great men of money, Cornelius Vanderbilt, called the Commodore, John D. Rockefeller, and Carnegie. These are three very wealthy men who climbed up the ladder of wealth with a great deal of emotion, but they were in charge. They let their emotion drive their imagination. They let their emotion drive their intuition and their understanding of what they wanted to accomplish. Now, these men, coming as they did at the beginning of the financial benefits of the United States and the world, the story of their life is a story of walking over other people and sort of getting what they wanted, but at the price of other people. But they played their game of wealth like the game of Monopoly. And in playing their game of wealth like the game of Monopoly, they were not touched by emotions. They merely let any problem that came up be an inspiration to them. How shall we handle this? How shall we go about taking care of this situation so that it can be to our benefit, to my benefit? And I guess maybe that's another big feature too. It was always to my benefit, to their individual benefit, and not to the benefit of the world or to the benefit. They did what they did because they met a need. They met a need of activity in the world, and they didn't let their emotions get in the way. Vanderbilt was not successful in several areas. And then finally, in one area, he was tremendously successful in his work with the railroads. And he wouldn't let anything get in his way of being greater success. And he moved on. He wanted to be owning all the railroads in the land. He wanted to own all that aspect in the land. And Rockefeller came along. Vanderbilt was from a poor family. He didn't have a proper education, proper background. But the thing is, he had imagination. He had demand. He had strive. He had control of his emotions. And what drove him was to be the best, to be the top, to be the completely most wonderful, successful railroad man in the world. And he was. But then along came John D. Rockefeller, and he too was a self-made man. And his father was not a nice man. His father would take the family money and go and spend it. And he would even rob his son's money that he put away on behalf of the family. He was a very dedicated man. Rockefeller was a very, very spiritually illumined man. But then he had a situation that sort of changed his whole life. He was on his way to meet with Vanderbilt. He was on his way to take kerosene and have it be shipped by train and have it be shipped in a beneficial way. And so he got on this train, but before he got on the train, he had his luggage there, and his taxi slowed him down on the way to the train, so he missed the train. And that train went along the railroad track, up on a high bridge, and there was an error in the track. They didn't learn how to keep the tracks perfectly in those days. And the train went chook off the track and killed everybody. And he was not on it. Well, it caused him to think. It caused him to stop and think, where are his values? Where are his... And so he said to himself, I will live by principle. I will live by principle. And I will be master of my emotions. And so he went for his meeting with Vanderbilt, and he laid out his plans, and he said, this is the way it's going to be. And Vanderbilt was amazed and surprised, and he felt, that can't be. I mean, I'm the wealthy man. Here, this is just this little guy telling me that he's going to have me work with him as he wants me to work with him. Well, it turned out that Vanderbilt bought Rockefeller's program. And then Rockefeller went back to his business, which was having Standard Oil. And as he went back to his business, he knew he could not provide enough oil from his own oil wells to keep the trains busy. And he was told that he had an agreement to have so many tank loads of oil every month, every day, in fact, 36 or something like that every day. And so what did he do? He went out to other distilleries, and he had them bring all of their oil into his distillation factory. And so he not only filled all his trains, but he filled all the other trains with oil so that the world would have light. Using kerosene, they would have heat and they would have everything else. And the problem with kerosene had been that it was unstable, and it would cause fumes, and these fumes would be around, and then all of a sudden the fumes would ignite, and poof, up would go the house, and up would go whatever. And he said, that does not have to be. There is something wrong here in my distillation process. So he studied it. He was not a chemist. He was not a businessman. He was not any. He was a self-made in all these areas. And he decided, we will find it. And they found it. They found why buildings would go on fire because of the fumes that had built up in there and ignited spontaneously from the lamps that were on in the building. And that was a tremendous thing. Well, Vanderbilt was trying to make it a hard thing for John D. Rockefeller, because Vanderbilt's trains were not enough to take care of all of the oil and all of the kerosene that he wanted to circulate throughout all of the United States. And so Vanderbilt said, okay, I'm going to take care of that. And Rockefeller said, And he again meditated and thought about it. And he says, I know what to do. I will buy out all these other railroads. And so he caused a situation where all the other railroads could not function, and they went bankrupt. And then he was one of the richest men in the world, and he bought all the other railroads that went bankrupt. And then one railroad tried to pull a funny on him, tried to pull a funny on Vanderbilt. And two guys made up false stock certificates, and they sold them. And they gave them to Vanderbilt for value, and they proved to be of no value at all. Well, people, by going against Rockefeller, went with principle, and his principle was very strong and very beautiful and very powerful. Vanderbilt's principle was very strong and beautiful and powerful, but each one of them thought that they had to be the very best, the very top, the very most. And Vanderbilt, in being the top, he didn't think anything about stepping on anybody else. And so Rockefeller, because this is the way he was treated, he started doing the same thing. And because he did, he came to be the richest man in the world, but he didn't have what he wanted, that is, that inner respect and that inner integrity. But along comes Carnegie, the great steel maker of the world, and his story is a little more beneficial to the world. Now, I am master of my emotions. Rockefeller was master of his emotions. Vanderbilt was master of his emotions. But their emotions both were to be the best, to be better than anybody else. And if it meant doing something that was going to destroy somebody else, that was perfectly okay. These are some of the things upon which the foundation of the United States stands. And we look at that foundation and we think to ourselves, were they really master of their emotions? When they wanted so much that they didn't mind causing depressions, they didn't mind causing people to be out of work, they didn't mind causing people to be living in squalid situations and not having things, they didn't mind that. But what happens when they don't mind that? They might get all the wealth in the world. They might get all of the power. They might get all of these things as we think we do. But when we're master of our emotions, none of those things make any consequence for us. The only thing that is consequential for us is that we live by principle. And when Rockefeller started living by principle, great things happened in his life. And when he moved away from principle, difficult things happened in his life. They are a good illustration to us of where are we standing? Where are we standing on our goals, on our direction? Are we master of our emotions? Or do we let our human emotions drive us into thinking that whatever we do is right as long as it makes money for us? Whatever we do is right, we can walk over anybody because that's okay. And if that is our emotion, if that is the emotion that we are allowing ourselves to rule our lives, we'll soon quickly find that it doesn't work too well, that there's a price that has to be paid. And the price is paid inwardly. The price is paid by all of the unhappy things that happen in our life. Our life can be filled with joy and peace and harmony and goodness if we want it to be. If we stand firm on principle, if we stand firm on being in charge of our emotions and not let our emotions run us. Today, there is a little game coming on computers. It's called Emotions. And it's little symbols of faces and things like that. People having smiles on their faces, or people having frowns on their faces, people having this way or that way. And it's been shown psychologically that people who use the negative aspects of the emotional symbols are people who are emotionally unstable and sick. And people who use the happy emotional figures are people who are sound and well-balanced. Today we might consider that that's something good for us, to be sound and well-balanced, to have our emotions totally in charge. But do you want them? Is it sort of inviting to think of Vanderbilt and his millions and billions. John D. Rockefeller, such a tall, straight man, doing everything by principle, being so wealthy, the wealthiest man in the world. Or Bill Gates, being the wealthiest man in the world. Was Bill Gates always a good man? Did he always do things well? Did he scream at his employees? What do we know about these people? One day, there'll be a book written about Bill Gates after he's gone. And the book will tell the truth about him, not what people want to know. Because while Steve Jobs was living, people were running him down like fire. And when he died, they started to continue to run him down. But then all of a sudden now they're finding out that there were avenues of Steve Jobs' life. There were areas of his attitude and his motions and his being that were very noble and very beautiful. And as time goes on, and this negative emotion, which has no place in our life anyhow, negative emotion about people, soon fades away, and the truth about them comes out. And the truth about them is their inner nobility, their inner strength, just like your inner strength and my inner strength. That day will come when all the world will know who we really are. And it won't really matter, because it'll be past. But what does matter is what we're doing right now, in the present. How we're standing up for our attitudes and our emotions and our desires for ourselves and our world. Think about it. And whenever you get uptight about anything, you're letting your emotions rule you, and they will destroy you. So this day say, I am master of my emotions. I am master of my emotions under all circumstances and at all times. And watch how, living in principle, in that attitude, how wonderful life is. Have a great day. Have an emotionally sound day. And be the kind of person that you are. Not the kind of person that people want to make you into being, but the person you really are. And one day we'll know that. But it won't matter. We'll long be gone. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.